Okay, good afternoon to everyone on this Resurrection Sunday. I'm glad to meet with you as we gather together in the name of Jesus on this glorious day. I really am glad to meet with you more than you know. It's always good to meet with fellow saints. Today, we're going to, quote, deviate some from our normal course of study. We know that we are studying through the gospel according to Luke. And when we were last together in this particular study of Luke here, we were in Luke chapter 17. And on next week, Lord willing, we will resume our study from Luke chapter 17. We had gone through verses 1 through 6. And next week, we'll probably continue beginning at verse 7. So our study from next week, we'll start at Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 6. You all know I'm notorious for review, so we may have to back up some. But we're going to proceed forward in Luke. So I would like to ask the readers to be ready on next week to read your passage. Today, we're going to concentrate, of course, on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is glorious day. And that's what we're going to talk about, this glorious day that we call the resurrection. So let's go to God in prayer, and then we'll proceed forward. Heavenly Father, it is good for us to be here. It's always good when saints gather together in the name of Jesus. I am especially glad to be here. I'm especially glad to see my fellow brothers. I don't know if any brothers are here, but we have brothers in the spirit. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if the brothers are not with us in flesh, we know that they are with us in spirit. So, Lord, we praise you as a part of the family of God. We praise you on this glorious, glorious day. And now we ask you by your spirit to be our teacher, to lead us and guide us in the way that you would have us to go as we focus our hearts and mind on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lord, in whom we praise him and we give him glory forever and ever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, today we are going to be asking a few questions of you. I'm going to spend a lot of time on questions and answers, but to open our study today, and I encourage you to participate. And I would like to ask you, and I'm not together enough today where I could have the, not the chat room open, but the where you can talk back to the teacher and all that. So if you have an answer to give, just unmute yourselves and give it. My first question is, and I would like for you to list vocally three things about the resurrection. And that's how I'm going to phrase it. I could phrase it differently, but I'm not going to phrase it differently right now because I want you to think about and answer the question, what are three things that you could give in response to someone who wants to know about the resurrection? So I'm going to give you a minute to think on that. And that shouldn't take too long at all. So whoever wants to unmute themselves first, go ahead. Don't make it hard. The question is, name three things about the resurrection. And I would like to get a variety of things if possible. All right, who wants to go first? Don't be shy.
Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has risen from the grave.
Okay, so Sister Gay said, Jesus Christ. And she said a lot right there. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has risen from the dead. That's a mouthful that you said right there. All good. Someone else, another response. Three things about the resurrection. And actually, Sister Gabe gave about five things in there. So someone else?
I like the fact that absolutely and positively no one else could have done it.
That's a good answer. Done it what?
Raised from the dead to save us.
Okay.
From our sins.
Okay. No one else absolutely could have done it, it being raised from the dead. Is that what
Correct.
You're saying?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. That's a good answer. All right. Anyone else?
He had to die was to overcome sin, and he did overcome it.
Okay, so whoever that is needs to speak up.
The reason, Miss Marcia, the reason okay. why he died was to overcome sin, and he did overcome it.
Okay, that's great. He being who?
Jesus.
Yes, that's all. Let's say his name, because he, people could say all kind of answers to he. Okay, so Marcia, say your answer again, Sister Marcia.
The reason why Jesus died was because of sin, and he mm-hmm. overcame sin.
Therefore, because he overcame sin.
Excuse me?
Because he overcame sin, he did what?
Gave us life. And
and what's the resurrection
relationship
about?
With the Father.
And what's the resurrection about? Resurrection is about someone else. You're right, Sister Marcia. What is the resurrection about in a word? We've already said it.
Reason.
Who said that?
He was raised from the dead.
Who said that? Whoever said it, said with boldness. I think that was Sister.
It was Dorian.
Oh, Dorian. Dorian, what did you say?
Risen.
Okay. But I need a complete sentence because risen.
The Lord.
We're going to all get up from, I'm in a chair right now, and we're going to rise from this chair in a minute.
The Lord has risen.
From?
From the dead.
There we go. Okay, so the resurrection, and there's all those answers were good, all those answers were true, but we want to make our answers more complete. There is much, much more to say. Can't say it all, don't know it all. But I have discovered in my years of, you know, studying and learning about Jesus and being around saints, I have studied, especially as I continue in the faith. And you'll be surprised to hear this, and you may not believe it. Not too many Christians know too much about Jesus and his resurrection. We can, and it's true. And the highlight is, of course, he did rise from the dead, he being Jesus Christ. He rose from the dead. But there's a multitude of things that come up out of his rising from the dead. For example, if we just stay with that, those words right there, Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And that those are the words that we especially want to say on this day. And you'll hear over and over again, he has risen, he has risen, he has risen from the dead. And that's what the resurrection is all about. Now, the days preceding up to the resurrection, like all of last week, we concentrated on, and even time before that with Lent that leads up to, you know, time of repentance, and we're focusing on repentance and everything, and we're leading up to Good Friday. Well, Good Friday, we know, is the time where we commemorate especially and remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that occurs on what we call Good Friday. That's when he died. Now, that happened in history. It's a one-time thing. He died one time. Not going to die anymore. It was a one-time perfect sacrifice that covered all of the sins of the world. That one time, one sacrifice. So Good Friday, that's what that's about. And then after Good Friday, we know, and Good Friday concentrates on the crucifixion of Christ. And then after the crucifixion of Christ, we could say the next major joint, and I like that word joint because it's connecting things. The next major joint, and these are the three joints connecting main points of the gospel. And there are three major points of the gospel that the scripture spells out. The first one is that, anyone know the first one? Is that Jesus Christ did what? Major. Jesus Christ, he
died.
Thank you. He died. That's the first quote. Everything about Jesus is major. So I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. But he died. Now, Sister Catherine, I want you to complete that sentence with a few more words. Why did he die?
I'm sorry, I was muted. I would say he died for our sins.
That's it. You don't have to go any further. If someone wants to know why did Jesus Christ die, that is the answer. He died for our sins. Now there's a whole bunch to that, because in that and that alone, other things as well, he did what no one else could do. Jesus, Savior, he died. Jesus Christ died for our sins. No one else could do that. The next major joint of the gospel is what? He died. Someone else?
To redeem to grab the keys from hell and redeem those that were lost before his time.
Okay, that's true, but you skipped, and we're all here to learn. So, you miss a major point there, and you're not
going. He was buried.
He was buried. That is important. Is the burial. Now you hear a lot of people, they will skip over the burial, or it may be casually mentioned, but the burial is vital. That burial is vital. It's a major point of the gospel, major joint, that Christ died for our sins. And it's important to say he died for our sins, because everybody dies. So if you just end, not you all, but if someone just says Christ died, that's an incomplete answer. Everyone dies. So you have to go on further with the complete answer for us, for Christians, and someone inquiring about the gospel. He died for our sins. Next major point, and a lot can be said on all of this. He died, and then he was, who gave that last answer? Then he was, who?
Raised.
Rochelle.
Well, the answer before the raised. He died.
Rochelle. Gave the answer burial.
Catherine Murphy.
I gave the answer burial.
Burial. That's it, Rochelle. Okay, and he was buried. And it's important to linger on the burial. Usually we go from he died. Thank God he died. Amen. Yes, he did. He surely died on Calvary. But we don't want to casually skip over he was buried. There is a major reason that he was buried. Let me say a bit more about that later. And then that next major joint, I'm using that word, our point is what? He died for our sins. He was buried according to the scriptures. And then what?
Jesus Christ was raised from the dead.
And on the third day, he was raised.
He was raised from the dead.
And if you don't get out the third day, that's okay. But he was raised from the dead. And the Bible spells it out, the third day. And all of that fits in with a lot of Old Testament types, why it was the third day, and different reasons. So we're not going to go into all of that today. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we have clear now, and this is what's called the gospel of Jesus Christ in nutshell form. Christ died for our sins. He was buried according to the scriptures. And on the third day, he rose again. And that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the theme of that chapter of 1 Corinthians 15, the entire theme of that chapter is the resurrection. So if you want to read about the resurrection, and all throughout scripture, the resurrection is typified and exemplified in many ways. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 kind of like condenses a whole lot of scripture all about the resurrection. So it starts out in chapter 15, verse 1. Paul, the apostle, he's the writer, and he's talking to the saints. And he says, reading from the New King James Version, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." Now that verse is simply letting us know that the gospel has been declared by Paul, and that's what he preached. And if anything should be preached on any time there's a sermon, it should come forth the gospel anytime. And it can come forth from any passage of scripture. But the gospel which I preach, and preach meaning a declaration, to declare with authority, I preach to you. And then Paul says, which also you received, that's us, the believers, we have received by faith the gospel. And in that gospel, we are standing. I believe it till the day I die. I'm standing on what this word of God says about Jesus Christ. And then verse 2 goes on to say, by which also you were saved. So there is no salvation without the gospel coming forth. You can do a lot of things, but there's no getting around. The gospel must come forth. Salvation. Verse 2. By which also you are saved. If you hold fast, you got to keep believing it. You have to keep believing it. Hold fast that which I preached, and that's what's to be preached. I preached to you unless you believed in vain. And there are many people that started out believing. They started out saying, I believe. They started out saying, I believe in Jesus. Then they changed for various reasons. Well, this Bible lets us know you have to continue in the faith. Continue in that faith unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, Paul says about himself, I delivered to you first of all, and you got to have it for yourself first, especially if you're a preacher. I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. So you have to have your own personal testimony. And you would be surprised. There are plenty of people, I don't know who they all are, but they, quote, preach the word, teach the word, do everything, you know, a lot of things around the word. But it doesn't necessarily mean they themselves have received and believed. Verse 3, So that's something you have to know for yourself. Verse 3, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Here it is, that Christ died for our sins. That's that first major joint. Christ died for, that's the reason he died, and that reason is important. He died for our sins. So whenever the gospel goes forth, you can't mention the gospel without the word sin being mentioned, even though it happens all the time. You hear all kinds of sermons and never hear about sin. But see, that's what it's about. This whole gospel message is centering around Christ died for our sins. So if that's missed, if that is missed, that's a sad thing. If that's missed, what it's all about, it has been missed. So we want to make sure that comes forth, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried. And we need to make sure we get that in, the burial, that he and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So those are the 3 points of the gospel that should go forth, even though they don't always go forth, whenever a gospel message is preached. And it can come through in many ways. The gospel can be preached from every book in the Bible. The gospel can be proclaimed. And God has different ministers and preachers to bring it forth in different ways. But we want to make sure we know Christ died for sin. He was buried and rose again from the dead. Now, I will say in scripture, there's plenty of times, even in scripture, where it will say Christ died and rose again. Doesn't mention the burial there, but that's where you need the entirety of scripture. You know, can't say everything every time, but the whole of the scripture lets us know those are the major points. So we know that. So now let's go forward. And Paul says in verse five, and he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by the apostle. Last of all, he was seen by me. Then last of all, he was seen by me also. As by one that is born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. So Paul there is giving a personal testimony. Now, every believer should have a personal testimony. Now, you might not know whether it happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday when you were saved. I'm one of them people, I don't know what day the Lord saved me. But I do know I am a child of God. I do know I've been born again and I have been redeemed. That I know. The Bible does not declare that you have to know what day. A lot of people know it. A lot of people don't. And it can cause, for those who believe you have to know the day, it can cause you to question your salvation. Well, we don't base our salvation on the day we were saved. We based our salvation on that Jesus Christ saved me by his blood through his grace. And so Paul goes on to say, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Grace, there's that big word, grace. And that's how we're saved. By grace are you saved. Verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And by his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but by the grace of God, I, by the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. So the importance there is, main point there is, just so the gospel goes forth, whether it's preached through whatever vessel, that the gospel message is proclaimed. And Paul is letting us know it didn't matter who, just so the gospel was preached. And sometimes the gospel message, it can come through what we would call an unholy vessel. And it may be an unholy vessel, but the gospel is still true. And that's what's to be proclaimed. Now, in verse 12, Paul says, if Christ is preached, and once again, that's who is to be preached. If Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? Now, that may sound like a strange question that was asked, but it's still being asked today among, I'll say in religious circles. I won't say Christian education, religious education circles. That question is really being asked about did Christ really rise from the dead? And that's what's being questioned, big question. Because Satan wants to place doubt that Christ really did rise from the dead. So Paul is saying to these believers, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? So we as believers want to keep emphasizing he died, he was buried, he rose again. Now Paul goes on now to build upon that point. Verse 13, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. You know, so that's what can you say about the resurrection? Well, we could say if there is not a resurrection, and we as believers are doing what? We're basing our faith on that Christ rose from the dead. Did you see him rise? Well, no. I didn't see him rise. I didn't see him feeding the 5,000. Matter of fact, we have not seen much anything. You know, I'm talking about these physical eyes. We have not seen. But that's the very point that makes us what? And you all need someone to unmute themselves now. The fact that we have not seen with these eyes is the main one main point, if not the main, of what makes us who we are. And who are we? What's a title for us? The fact that we have not seen with our eyes Jesus walking on the water, Jesus turning water into wine. We haven't seen those things. We didn't see those miracles, but we believe. Yeah. And so that makes us what? Our title would be, I'm giving it to you over and over again.
Believers.
We're believers. We believe. Though we have not seen, ain't never seen it with these physical eyes, we have not seen. But there are witnesses that came down through the years. There are witnesses. But most have not seen. But I could say, and I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, can say, but I do believe. Now that means what? Because we believe, then another big word of the Christian faith is what? Because we believe, we
We have faith.
Our faith in this gospel message that Christ died for our sins. That's what's supposed to be preached. If nothing else gets around to being said, say that he was buried and rose again from the dead on the third day. Anyone have any comments right now? I'm going to keep going. Okay, I'm going to keep going. Verse 13. If there is no resurrection of the dead, how then is Christ not risen? And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith also is empty. In other words, I just might as well close this Bible and let's go home. And well, I guess we are at home, a lot of us. But let's go on about our business. Forget all of this that's in this word of God. If Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. That's one reason, too, why preaching is empty. There's a lot of folks saying a lot of words, but it's a whole bunch of empty preaching. Because Christ, he is the message. He's the message. And if he's not raised and lifted and proclaimed, preaching becomes empty. And your faith also is empty. Now, I'm not saying that particular person at that particular point doesn't know Jesus, but I am saying it's something to listen for, and it's something to watch out for, and it's something to be aware of. What about Jesus? What about Christ? So preaching becomes empty if Christ is not lifted. Verse 15, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. What time am I supposed to end? 2 o'clock? Yeah, 2 o'clock. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. That's an important key why it must be proclaimed that Christ has risen. Because if he has not been risen, the scripture says right here, you are still in your sins. And we're shouting today because of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is evidence that Christ has risen from the dead. Verse 18, but 17 lets us know, if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins! Point. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have also perished. So that means all that in the sweet by and by ain't nothing to it if the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ is not true. Verse 19, if in this life, and that's life before death, before we die. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, and you all, do we have hope in Christ? Yes, in this life? Yes, I have hope in Christ in this life. But I have hope in Christ beyond this life too. That's the importance of the resurrection. I believe he's going to raise me. He was raised and I will be raised. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. So that means might as well live it up in sin if in this life only we have hope in Christ. But then the scripture pivots on verse 20, and verse 20 is a but. And verse 20 says, but now, and you all notice that, but, very important, but now. And it is a now. But now Christ is risen from is risen. But now Christ is risen. That's the gospel coming forth from the dead. And here comes the resurrection, and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Now let's talk about this word resurrection. This is what we call Easter Sunday. Some call it Easter Sunday. And the word Easter is in the Bible one time. But we more commonly, someone needs to be put on mute here. Instead of saying Easter Sunday, and it's okay to say that, but what's the more appropriate name for this holiday we're celebrating? We say Easter, but also we say what? What's the big name?
Resurrection.
The resurrection. The resurrection of Christ from the dead. The resurrection. And we are celebrating that he rose from the dead.
Rochelle,
he's fixing my dinner. Oh, Rochelle, are you fixing dinner? It's okay. Thank you. Okay. We get along together in the family of God. Verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And now we're going to see a link. You know, because he lives, we live. Because he has risen. Now, this is what we're glad he died. So glad he died. But we're so glad he was buried. And we're glad he rose from the dead, because that's uniting us in with him. He died not for himself, and he was buried not for himself. It was to get us in. It was to bring in believers. It was to bring in children of God. Jesus didn't need this. We were the ones who stood in need of redemption. And so verse 20, now Christ is risen. He's risen from the dead. And now it's going to link up with the rest of these things. He has become this and this and this and this and this. And you on your own, you could go through this chapter and see what has happened as a result of his resurrection. Verse 20, Christ is risen. He has risen from the dead. Is he going to die again? Anyone? Quickly.
No.
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 Why not? Why won't he die
once,
again?
Once and for all.
Okay, he won't die again because he died once and for all. And yeah, that's important to know. When he died, now when Jesus died, his death is different from everybody else's death in the whole wide world. No one lived like Jesus. No one died like Jesus. No one will be raised like Jesus. Jesus is alone in his glory and majesty. In every way, he's above us. And so his death is different from ours, but he's uniting us. He's going to bring us in with him. Okay, so this death of Christ, which ushers in the burial, which ushers in the resurrection. Now, let me say something about the burial here, and it comes up again. So let me keep going in verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and has become the first fruits. You all notice that word. He has become the first fruits. So that alone lets you know, if there's a first fruits, there must going to be what? If there's a first fruit,
the other fruits,
there's going to be some other fruits. Now that's bringing in us, being united with him, That's why the importance of the gospel. You must believe. He was buried, rose again. He was buried, and rose again from the dead, according to the scriptures. Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits. Now, that's where usually when you hear about first fruits, especially in church, it's usually about money. You know, everybody bring your first fruits offering. Well, first fruits is all throughout scripture with a lot of offerings, but usually we hear it in conjunction with some money. But the first fruits really has to do with that first group of believers, of saints that came forth after Christ was raised. Because when he rose, and this is where we keep reading our Bibles, when Jesus got up, if you remember, he was on that resurrection day, others got up. Others got up. I'm trying to see if the Lord will bring to me where that scripture is. But other people got up on resurrection. They got up, but they didn't rise until he rose. He rose first. Jesus rose first, but the graves were opened. But he got up first because he is that first fruit. And he, but now Christ is risen from the dead. He has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And that's believers who have died, believing and trusting in Jesus. For, verse 21, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. So those two major things there, by man, and this is where you have these two heads, and I say federal heads, heads of a race. For since by man, okay, by man, what did man usher in? Man, Adam, ushered in death. That's why we're dying today, because of sins, the sins that Adam ushered into this world. For since by man, sin came. He was the usher. Sin came. For since by man came death. Okay, you all got that, right? If it wasn't for man's sin, death would not have come. By man also came the resurrection of the dead. So how many men do we have here in verse 21? How many men are in verse 21?
Two.
Who are the two?
Adam.
Jesus.
Christ.
Yeah. Okay. And Adam is not called Adam in verse 21. Adam is called
man. Man.
With a small m.
Yeah.
For since by man, small m, Adam, came death. He was the usher that brought in death. And that happened in the garden. We know that. By man, and you notice capital M now comes forth. By man, here comes by man, capital M,
yeah.
also came
the resurrection
of the dead. So now we have two what? We have two men.
Yeah.
Two men. And one man, small m, one man ushered in death. He is the federal head of the race. Who is the federal head of the race? And I'm talking about the human race.
Adam.
Adam. He's the federal head of the race, Adam. So when we come into this world and we're born, not talking about born again, we just the human race. We are born in sin, and we are born in the Adamic race, and we all die. That's what verse 21 says. because man ushered in death. But then, thank God, this is the glorious proclamation that we proclaim on Christmas, when we celebrate that Christ came into the world. And we're so glad he came. Well, one reason he had to come, and we're glad that he came, because if he had not come, we would have been stuck in sin, stuck in Adam. But because he did come, the possibility has been made possible. It has been made possible that we can be born again. So verse 22 says, verse 21, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. All right, so we have those two men. One ushers in death, the other ushers in life. But we come into this world in what, which category? We come into this world where? When we're born into this world, we're born in sin. And we're born in Adam. And we act like Adam. How do we know we act like Adam? Because we all do what? We all act like Adam because we all sin. Who says what?
We all sin.
We all sin. And it starts it's earlier than age. I mean, you say, oh, people don't sin until there's an age of accountability. Well, you can see them young babies figure out stuff too. But it has nothing to do with that natural age. What it has to do with is Adam and great great Adam and your great 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 grandfather all the way back are in Adam. And then in time, you see sin playing out. Doesn't take long. Baby has a tantrum. Sin plays out. And it doesn't have to do with natural age. What it has to do with is our nature. We have been born with a sin nature, and therefore we sin because we have that nature in us. So we're really in a hopeless situation. We're in a hopeless situation. But what happens? Thank God, what happens? We really were in a hopeless situation. But because of the amazing grace of God. God made a way. And when we say where there was no way, there really was no way. But God made a way. And this way, it starts way back in Genesis, because I mentioned it last week, and it's all throughout the Bible. Bible connects together in many ways. But you see, even in Genesis, even in chapter one, but it immediately goes to talking about the seed came forth. You know, the seed following after sin's nature, Adam's nature, and then Christ, the seed came. Now let's hold 1 Corinthians, but let's go to that seed again, because all of this ties in together. And it's a beautiful gospel message. It's the gospel message, like I said, that can be proclaimed from any scripture in the Bible. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, and I can't go all the way back to chapter 1 because of time, but if we go back to chapter 2, can't find the exact scripture I want right now. Chapter 3, help me, Lord.
Verse
3, verse 14. That's what I want. chapter 3, verse 14. Now, I skipped over a lot of scripture, and all of it's important. So that's where we keep reading our Bibles on our own. Okay, chapter 3, verse 14. Chapter 3 of Genesis, verse 14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, now this is after sin entered into the world, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I, God, that's God, I will put enmity between you, that's the serpent, and the woman, that's part of Adam, and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. So y'all, there's two different seeds there. There's the enmity between you and the woman. That's the serpent and the woman. And between your seed, and that's in Adam's seed, and her seed. So those are those two different seeds. A prophecy about Calvary comes forth, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And this could be, is not the main starting point, but the point of this great battle that has been of the ages, we could say, that's still going on between, still going on in quotes, between Satan, between God and Satan. I say between God and in parentheses or in quotes, because God's not battling anybody per se. God is God. But God has allowed these things to play out where there's a war going on. It started back in Genesis, and even before, when God was dividing, he started out dividing light from darkness. And that first thing that he divided, I think the first thing he was divided, let me go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1, the earth, okay, verse 1. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens with an S, and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And you notice there's a lot going on there that has to do with darkness, without form, void. You know, those are dark things that happens right from the beginning of in the Bible. The earth was without form. It was void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. But then what happens? And really, this ray of light comes in right here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So we could say, in effect, that's the beginnings, and I say in effect, of the gospel message coming forth. The Spirit of God, you know, you got to have the Spirit for life to come forth. And God's Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. And then curtain up on this whole gospel message. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light. That's the first thing God said. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And by the way, that's what it's called to this day. And I challenge you to think of a better word for nighttime and a better word for daytime. You can't think of a better word than day or night. Because God set it in motion. And we're still saying day and night. Verse 5. And God called the light day. That's why we're still calling it day. And the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. So this big stage of what's going on, and like you all know, much, much more could be said. And that's why we stay in Bible study and keep walking with the Lord. And he reveals to us, but it's all centering around the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also moving somewhere. So I'm going to end today because our time is up. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15. Much, much more could be said. So verse 15, I'm going to read kind of fast because of time. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ. That's why you got to be born again. A person has to be born again so they can be in Christ. So in Christ, all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order, you know, in one of these orders, each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end. And see, you all, we're in. I like to say, my mom has heard me say this, and probably plenty of you that's been with me through the years. Here we are, what's the date? April the 18th?
17th.
April 17th in the year 2021. And here we are in this big stage of history that started when this whole big drama of human history, because you know, man wasn't here always. So this man was created. And then God said, let us make man. And this whole stage of history, and it was all moving. I'm going to say towards Jesus. I skipped over a lot there. Towards Jesus, who's going to reverse, quote, what Satan did. And he's going to recapture Jesus, what the enemy took back. I mean, what the enemy stole. Jesus came to reverse the curse. Jesus came to redeem, but you have to be in him. Now, 1 Corinthians 15, I do want to read here. Then, verse 24, then comes the end. See, we're on April 17th, but April 17th, 2022. And tomorrow will be the 18th. And all of this time that we're in is in a big parenthesis. Because time is moving where? Well, this is April 17th. And what's going to happen April 17th, 2020, 2021, 2022? April 17th is going to do what?
Turn into 18.
They're going to turn into 18. And they're going to keep turning. Until 1 Corinthians 15, verse 24, then comes the end. So it's like, this is a good point to place to end because our time is up. God started time. And Genesis says, in the evening and the morning were the first day. Day one. And that clock has been winding on down until we get to the end. And then the end shall come. And I believe that. But there's a lot that's in between this great story that God is working out. His great plan of salvation and more. So, Father, we thank you. What an awesome God. What a mighty God. To the only wise God be glory. And Lord, we couldn't have thought of this plan that you thought of, because we can't even figure out one day, and the truth be known, we can't even figure out what we're going to eat sometime. So much less trying to figure out a lifetime But you did that with all men for all ages. And I want to say, we want to say thank you for Jesus, who came that he might bring us to salvation. We praise you and we thank you. We ask you to be with us through this week and keep us in your care as we continue to rejoice in the glorious resurrection of the Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good word. Amen.
Our time is up, and as you all know, much more could be said, but we continue in study. God bless each one of you.
God bless you.
God be with
you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Happy Resurrection Day.
Happy Resurrection
Day. Happy Easter.
Resurrection. Did I hear BJ?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't see him, but I heard his voice.
Oh,
there's his name. I see you, BJ's name. Oh, you didn't have to show up. I just recognized your name. God bless you.
Good to see you, brother.
God bless you.
Good to see you, brother.
Yes.
Happy Easter to you.
Yes, 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 yes.
Happy Easter.
This is Sister Lily Carter. God bless everyone.
Sister Velma.
Yes.
I just want to say that I'm so impressed with the songs that says, because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
Yes.
Because he lives, all fear is gone.
Yes.
Because I know he holds the future.
Yes.
And life is worth the living just because he lives.
He lives.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And I rejoice in that. It's because he lives.
He lives.
Yes.
We can face tomorrow now.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He's got it all in his hands.
Yes.
Yeah. And the songs say this and that and this and that. And He got it all in his hands.
In his hands.
Great.
Amen.
I'm going to stop the recording, but if you all want to linger a minute, I don't mind for a minute. So let me hit stop recording. Stop recording. However you stop it.